Welcome to the Bowden Blitz ACC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week number 11 is on the horizon. Great top 25 battles across the ACC. We'll take a look at the updated odds entering week number 11, and we see a little bit of a change. Last week it was Georgia Tech, and now it's Duke, followed by the Yellow Jackets, Louisville, Virginia, and SMU to round it out. Give me your thoughts about the progression of Manny Diaz and the Duke Blue Devils entering week number 11.
Well, you know, they're kind of getting better as the season gets toward the end, and they're playing probably their best football right now. That's the way they looked last week in their win over Clemson at Death Valley. And so I can't wait till next week when they play Virginia. That's going to really tell us a lot. But, of course, they've got to get by a UConn non-conference game. Virginia has a pretty interesting game against Wake Forest. But I really, you know, Georgia Tech, everything was Georgia Tech, but when they lost that football game, they've got to now come back and win out and just see what happens now with that tough loss that they had last week.
And when you look at Duke and Manny Diaz, we talked about him being able to get Darian Mensah, the quarterback from Tulane. He's come over and just played lights out. They pick up the victory last Saturday against Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers, 46-45. Mensah has really lived up to expectations, and Manny Diaz is going to be mentioned not just with potentially winning an ACC championship, but potentially for bigger and better jobs along with Brent Key. Is that a factor in the second half of the season, especially as we enter the month of November?
You know, I don't think it will be. Manny Diaz, this isn't his first rodeo. He's been a head coach at Miami. He's been through difficult times. He's had all the behind-the-scenes activities go on that can distract you. I think those things won't affect him in his preparation with Duke. I mean, Duke, he knows he's got some big things out there for Duke. And I think the impressive thing is, in this day of portal transfer, the head coaches that can recognize talent and recognize which of the quarterbacks that are all out there are the ones that can take you to the top. Just look at what Manny Diaz did, and look what Hugh Freeze did to Auburn. It's just like, which guy do you take? And you have to. That's a big plus for Manny. But I don't think right now, as far as other jobs, I think right now, you know, I think as what I would have done and my family would have done, we all have agents. They handle all those things on the outside. We don't even need to know what's going on. Give them some general direction and don't fool with it. Fool with your season. And the longer you're in the business, the more you don't let those things happen. Because the only thing you don't want is nobody wanting you.
Absolutely. I think when you look at the odds entering week number 11, it's interesting because you have Duke, you have Georgia Tech, you have Louisville, Tony Elliott, and Virginia that are playing lights out, 8-1 overall. Potentially all known for basketball, not potentially known for the football dominance. And you even see a team in SMU that played in the ACC championship. It's no longer the blue bloods potentially within the conference, the teams like Clemson and like Miami and Florida State that have won it in recent years. The changing of the guard, per se, in the perception about the teams that are at the top of the conference entering the second half of the season.
Probably the biggest change, Joe, you're right, the biggest change in college football is the lack of separation between the historical big boys and the people that were always just trying to be good enough to go to a bowl, the academic schools, the schools that didn't have the back history or the reputation, or the ones that were considered basketball schools. Now that you can make that commitment to pay players and get a quarterback that can lead you, and get all the backups. You can't stack players anymore. It's not just those schools. It's what you take away from those schools that you couldn't beat. You're taking all their backups. You're taking their depth. And they can't build, but also when they get somebody hurt, you've got their backup starting for you. And so it's pretty interesting now. And I think there's got to be as much sanity as we can get with the portal. And I think by knocking out the spring portal, now they've only got one. That's going to give us a better chance to develop our rosters. But I do think it's going to continue even more so in the future to make college football much more competitive. And the more we pay those these coaches, the less chance they're going to have to do what it is you want them to do.
And when you look at the odds for the ACC for the college football playoff, you have potentially seven teams to make the college football playoff. So the conference championship is still up for grabs. We talk about a team like SMU that stepped up with the marquee win over Miami, potentially knocked out the Hurricanes. They still have a pulse entering week number 11. But I feel like a team that nobody's talking about are the Pitt Panthers. They are on a bye week. They've won five straight. They have the potential to knock off Notre Dame on November 15th, followed by Georgia Tech and Miami. This is a team that's playing their best football coach at the second half of the regular season, and their quarterback change, Mason Heistichel, I think I said that right, has really lived up to expectations.
I'm glad you had to say it, not me. It changes every year with them. But you know what? He's the number one quarterback in the conference, and really nobody's talking about Pittsburgh. I mean, the only two conference teams they play is Georgia Tech and Miami, and I wish they probably wish they might play some others. That brings up another question when we talk about the odds, is that you don't play everybody in your conference. I'm not sure I can quite figure out when you're in the same record and you haven't played each other, which team has the best conference record that gets to the championship game. Because I could see this being one of those situations where they go back to the second or third criteria to decide who's going to be the conference champion. But you're right about that. Pittsburgh right now, I guarantee it, Georgia Tech, Miami, you got Notre Dame next week, which will be an interesting game that in and of itself, the way Pittsburgh is playing. But also, Georgia Tech, Miami, better be ready for Pittsburgh as they come along. Narduzzi's done a great job, as he has continually done at Pittsburgh since he's been the head coach there.
14-1 odds for the Pitt Panthers to crack the college football playoff. Another team that we're not going to talk about is Miami, plus 490, coach, to make the college football playoff. They have two losses right now in the conference, Louisville and SMU. They're going to have to win out the rest of the way, but perception around this program as a whole, we see the other programs within the state of Florida stepping up, teams like South Florida, UCF with Scott Frost back at 500, they're potentially going in their winning direction. Florida is going to have a new head coach, and Florida State got their first conference win. This is a very difficult job for Mario Cristobal, not just in terms of the November, but next year and big picture. Where do the Hurricanes go, and can they, in fact, make the college football playoff over the next couple of seasons?
Well, you know what's happened, Joe, is the expectations. We've been set up. We've had such high expectations. They've given him an open pocketbook. Get the NFL, get the players you want, get the coaches you want to coach offense and defensively. And Miami has had great tradition. So we've got last year, Cam Ward there, unbelievable expectations, blow it at the end of the season. This year, unbelievable expectations with the entire roster, plus Carson Beck, and we blow it again. And it's been with mistakes, 12 penalties last week. They didn't go for a field goal at the end of the game, regular game. They could have won the game during the if you believe in your quarterback, a senior, go down there, kick a field goal, win the game. And then you have penalties that cost you. So I think, and quarterback throwing six interceptions. So again, yes, I think Mario Cristobal, the honeymoon is definitely over. Their expectations are exactly what you've told us you would have down there at Miami.
And we'll see how it plays out the second half of the regular season heading into the conference championship. Can the Hurricanes get back into the playoff hunt? We'll see. They do have a tough ball game this coming weekend against Syracuse. When Coach and I come back, we'll be diving into the Week 11 odds within the ACC. We'll take a look at Miami, Syracuse. We'll take a look at Wake Forest, Virginia, and some of the other big games that will dictate the ACC entering week number 11. This is what it's all about. Conference odds, national championship odds on the horizon. It doesn't get better than this. For Coach Bowden and Joe Lisi, we're coming back week 11 in the ACC coming up next right here on the Bowden Blitz. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week 11 in the ACC. Left off talking about Mario Cristobal and the Miami Hurricanes. We'll take a look at that matchup. Miami opens as a significant favorite over the Syracuse Orange. They've dealt, Syracuse has, with quarterback issues, and Jelly, their starting quarterback, went down. Ricky Collins could not get it done. They're on their third string entering this ballgame, Coach. Give me your thoughts about just where Miami stands offensively and defensively, and can they in fact cover this 28.5 point number?
Yeah, you know they can, but I just don't have any confidence at all in my idea of what Miami is going to do week to week. They have the better football team than they had last year. Their quarterback is a senior. He's a veteran, yet he throws six interceptions in the last two losses. The head coach doesn't seem to make on-the-field decisions well. This goes back to last year. As you know, they made some decisions last year that cost them some games that should have been easy wins. And so the whole question in this game is the difficulties that Syracuse is having is, can they beat them by, what, five scores or four touchdowns and a field goal, whatever they've got to get, if it's 28.5 or more? That's the only question, because I right now just I have lost my confidence in a team that I've really kind of pushed all the way. When I see how they lose football games that they shouldn't lose. And so the whole question is, and I'm going to take Syracuse to cover just because the points are so much. But they have a tough problem. I mean, they've got some problems that I'm not sure. They don't have any answers to their quarterback situation. I don't know if you read the head coach fired the quarterback, the receiver pass game coordinator. He made the offensive line coach the quarterback coach, the quarterback coach the offensive line coach. This is all in their off week. And his statement was, I'm doing that now, so if it works, we don't have to wait till the offseason to do it. Well, it might work, not work. And I'll say this, in 28 years as a head coach in college, in 50 years my father a head coach, and 15 my brother's a head coach, none of us ever switched offensive line coaches and quarterback coaches. It's just, to me, those are some huge things, some drastic measures. And so I don't think they've got an answer at Syracuse. But then again, I don't know that I can trust Miami to go out there and score the points they need to win by 28.5 or 29, whatever they got to win.
Well, when you look at Syracuse, they're coming off a disappointing home loss to North Carolina, right? And Bill Belichick, North Carolina playing more consistent over the second half of the regular season. But the problem with Syracuse right now, and the problem that starting quarterback Joseph Filardi had on last Friday night, was that he only completed 4 of 18 passes. The rushing attack is only averaging, Coach, 3.4 yards per carry, 112 rushing yards per game, and it's going to be tough sledding on the road in South Beach. No matter how bad Miami comes out in this matchup, they're potentially going to shut down the run and force Syracuse into long third down situations. Can Syracuse extend and challenge that secondary over the top will be a main reason why they cover or don't cover this line. I think when you look at it, I would probably take the over 45.5 just because I would think Miami alone potentially could get into the high 30s, and then maybe we get through this number.
Yeah, I'm not sold on. I mean, this is one I may not even want to do because the number got so high. But if I'm Syracuse, I think the things that I mentioned, the drastic changes they've made with their offensive staff in the off week, the fact they've got a walk-on quarterback that was 4 of 18 last week that couldn't hit the side of a barn, I don't think they have any answers except not throw deep. Just try to control the ball, keep the score down, and make it reasonable. I just don't know how else you can go in there except try to slowly get some first downs and run that clock, and try to keep it down pretty close that way and hope that that Carson Beck throws some bad balls. He's had six intercepts, and a couple of them were pretty bad intercept, poor judgment interceptions. But again, that's a big number, but I don't see any way Syracuse can solve their problems. And I don't think Fran Brown sees a whole lot of way either, the changes he's made to try to get something going on that offense.
All right, we'll take a look at the other series in Death Valley. It's Clemson and Florida State. Clemson has won, Coach, 8 of the last 9 in the series. They won this matchup last year, 29-13 in Tallahassee. We talked about the home dominance of Clemson for years, 9 years, from 2015 to 2024 at the start. They had only lost three home games. They now have nine home losses. Throughout the last couple of seasons, they've lost six times in Death Valley for this year, Coach. Mm-hmm. Something has to give. Their offense put up 45 points, but they allowed 46 to Duke. Can they contain this offense in Florida State that actually got the win in convincing fashion last week as a 10.5-point home favorite over Wake Forest?
Yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't stop Duke down there in Clemson. The way FSU's got the third best total offense team in the country. I don't know how they can stop Florida State, and I don't think we can compare what's happened at Death Valley in the past. This is a different team. This is like some other team playing than the teams they've had over the years. They have lost their confidence. They've lost enough games. There's no magic in the home game right now. There's just no magic because everybody watches the video. The players do. They know they just got beat at home, And so what's got to happen is they've got to find a way to defensively to not give up the big play. You know, Florida State is a running team, but they lead the nation with over 40 plays of over 70 yards. 40 play. When you're a running team and they fear the quarterback and the stretch, you burn them deep downfield. You burn them for big plays. So here's Clemson probably going to try to find, and they got killed with a deep ball against Duke. They got hit with wide open deep throws. I can just see FSU run the ball, then throw it over top to wide open people. It's unusual for Clemson to play like this, but the old days when Brent Venables was a coordinator, that new coordinator, Tom Allen, has not worked for whatever reason. And this is going to be a tough one for them. I'm kind of like FSU. I like FSU to win this game outright.
Yeah, we'll see. I like Florida State as well. I think they're more balanced now heading into this matchup. They got right with Thomas Castellanos. They got the rushing attack coming down defensively. They got off the field on third down situations. And I'm not sure of the Clemson mindset now that the season is dead and buried. Six losses now. Potentially lurking and just looking at this team overall, Coach. I mean, there are no answers. It's 500 at best for Dabo. And right now, I think they're on the hot seat. The pressure is on Cade Klubnik and this team to step up. I like Florida State to potentially win this ball game outright. When we come back, we'll dive into more Week 11 matchups right here on the Bowden Blitz. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week number 11 in the ACC. We'll turn our attention to Louisville. They're significant 20.5-point favorites over Justin Wilcox and Cal. Cal played very well in the loss to Virginia last week. They were 5.5-point underdogs, did not cover. They threw a pick six basically on the last play of the game, Coach. They're now catching 20.5 on the road. I think that's way too many points. Louisville might win, but I actually like Kyle with the points heading into this ballgame.
Yeah, it's the first thing I noticed again. We're dealing with the high points again because I think Louisville's going to win this game. Cal's not playing well. They're averaging 78 yards a game rushing the football, 134th in the nation. They're not playing that well. One of the best defenses in the conference is Louisville. So the whole question is, can they go out there and win by 20 and by 20.5? And so it's a big number. But Cal, I don't think Cal. The only thing I would say is this: Isaac Brown, who is just the best, I think the best running back in the country, or one of them. It seems like he's out. He's averaging 8.6 yards a carry, number one in the country. He cannot go for Louisville, so that goes toward what you said, Joe, that they won't be able to cover that many points. I'm going to stick with Louisville, I think, on this one. I think it's a home game. It is critical that they continue to play as well as they can play. And so they've got to look aggressive. So I'm thinking that they have a great day and they lay it on them. But the high points get me and make it a little more difficult, like you say, when it comes to that question. Because we never know. We have no question who's going to win the game. But really, it's going to take 21 points. I like Louisville at home. All the marbles are still on the table for Louisville. They need to win. Those kids will have their attention in practice. And Cal will not be able to run the ball.
Oh, we'll see how it plays out. The game of the conference this weekend happens to be Wake Forest and Virginia. We talk about Virginia 8-1 overall. They sit at number 11 in the college football playoff. Coach, they'd be one of the top 12 teams. It's not Georgia Tech. It's not Duke. It would, in fact, be Tony Elliott and the Virginia Cavaliers. Chandler Morris playing lights out. They're laying 6.5 to a blue-collar Wake Forest team. Wake Forest has pushed the limit on some of these teams within the ACC. Can they win this game in Charlottesville Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I think they will. I think they have got, you know, they have found a way to win. They've got a special year going. We're talking about a record right now they haven't had in years. I think 30 years they haven't won eight games. They haven't won five ACC games in a season in a row in their school history. Seven consecutive games, three they won by overtime. So I think the way they are playing, I've got my money on Virginia this game. I think they can win by a touchdown. I think they can win by a touchdown. Wake Forest has been playing good, but Wake Forest got pounded last week by Florida State. Florida State lost to Virginia earlier in the season, and Wake Forest had no answers to Florida State. I don't say Virginia runs it like Florida State, but Chandler Morris at quarterback there has done a phenomenal job, and they do run the ball very well.
We'll see. It is back-to-back road games for Wake Forest. They didn't cover as a 10.5-point road underdog in Tallahassee. Going to need a better effort this weekend in Charlottesville. I said it was an afternoon kick. It is set for 7 o'clock under the lights. We'll see if Tony Elliott and Virginia can get it done. I actually like Wake Forest, Coach. With the points, we'll see if they can make it a game. 47.5. I lean to the under just because if we're looking about how this game potentially plays out, I think a lower scoring game does in fact favor Wake Forest the way they were able to pull it out against SMU a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't think they can score. If it gets to be a scoring match, or it goes definitely in Virginia's favor. But Wake Forest, the head coach has done a great job. They have got their program moving in the right direction, but nobody's having right now. Virginia's having an even more special year. Tony Elliott has got that team, as he says, they have a mindset. They're playing with confidence, and they're playing at home again. And so I think they can win by a touchdown. I think it'll be a good close game, but at the end, I think the 7-point touchdown lead's going to go to Virginia.
And we'll see. Now let me ask you about Virginia. Big picture, let's just assume they lose one game or two games down the stretch. If they were a 10-2 football team, an at-large team, are they good enough to potentially knock down that college football playoff door, or do they have to win an ACC championship?
You know what? If I'm in the ACC, you better plan on winning that conference championship if you want to get in. I just think there's a lot of look across the SEC and the ACC and across the country. There are a lot of 1-2 loss teams. And I just don't know if the strength of schedule is enough to get you in for sure. The best thing you can do is don't mess up and get that conference championship guaranteed, because I don't think two losses in the ACC guarantees you that final top 12.
For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week.